ready to rock and roll.
You guys close the door.
Music reference.
Yeah. Welcome to the session one in classroom two. There is a workshop, Theology of Worship, a Biblical Model for Contemporary Worship. And welcome our presenter, Shona Phipps.
Are you guys excited?
Yeah.
All right, so how do you expound on Biblical Theology of Worship in a 29-minute session? We're going to try to figure it out together, okay? All right, so we'll start at the beginning. The first actual mention of worship is actually found in Genesis 22:5. I think it's 22 verses too late, but that's okay. God knew. That verse actually says, he said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. And of course, we're talking about Moses and his son and how God commanded him to sacrifice his son, right? And it says, we will worship, and then we will come back to you. Now, I find it very interesting that he was required to sacrifice his son, but he said, we will come back to you. Mm. That was a sign of faith, okay? So what is worship? Why do we talk about it? Why do we need it? Is it one thing, or is it a whole thing? And let's dive a little bit deeper into that today. True worship is obedience and surrender. Doesn't matter in what manifestation that comes in, it is founded in obedience and surrender to the King of Kings. Anybody gonna deny that, argue with it? Oh, you guys are so already ahead of the game. It goes beyond the external. It's not about what we do, but it speaks to the condition of our heart. Moses' heart was surrendered to the will of God, not his own. He had prayed for that kid. He had desired for that kid. And yet he was willing to give the kid back to God as a sacrificial offering. He knew who God was. He wanted to honor God because he deserved it. And that obedience brought a blessing that he didn't even know was coming, but he had faith that God would do something big in it. So what is a call to worship in our church? What does that look like? And you'll hear people go, we're going to do a call to worship now at the beginning of services, or they'll talk about it. But what does it really look like, and how do you interpret that to your congregation, to your worship teams, to your pastoral staff? Like, I want 40 minutes to lead worship. I want an hour to lead worship. And Luke knows, he's on staff at our church. And if I could get like a whole 2 hours of worship, I'd be okay with that, right? But that's not solely what it is. So let's put the attention on three main components this morning. Who do we worship? Why do we worship? And how do we worship? Okay? Who do we worship? God, right? Now I say this to our teenagers at our church, just to kind of get their mind in the right setting. We worship to an audience of one. We're not worshiping to the crowd in the congregation. We're not worshiping to each other. We're worshiping to God. Worship is for him. It was created by him. And that's why we were created. It is a sweet foretaste for what we will be doing in heaven for eternity. And if we're going to do that in eternity, we might as well be doing it here on earth. Right? So Exodus 23 actually is a commandment given from God to his people. And what commandment is it? The first one. Thou shall have no other gods before me. This commandment was to be written on our hearts. Not just said out of our mouths, not just shown, but it was supposed to be imprinted on our DNA and what we do. That was the first commandment that was given by God to his people. In Luke 4:8, Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. So again, we can serve ourselves, we can serve our congregation, or we can serve God. Which one's the priority? And which one will actually have the overflow that spills out? If we serve ourselves and our own intentions, we bottle that sucker up. But if we do it to the audience of one, there's an overflow that splashes down. And people will begin to jump into that river along with us. Deuteronomy 6:5 Matthew 22:37 and Mark 12:30. And let's not forget about Luke. He's our best friend, right? 10:27 all say the same thing. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and with all your soul. And that's the DNA imprintation, right? Mm-hmm. So if we're loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and all your mind, you're worshiping to an audience of one. Okay? Now, I find it interesting that it was in 1, 2, 3, 4 books of the Bible. So it's kind of important that we apply all four of those characteristic traits to our worship. Why do we worship? Because I love it. I truly do. I'm so passionate about worship. But it goes deeper than that. We worship because we need formational worship, we need an encounter worship, and we need an anticipatory worship. Those are really big words. So let's break it down, make it understandable to the stupid people in the room. All right? All right, formational. It shapes the believer's heart and understanding to reflect the character of Christ. We become formed creations. We're clay on the potter's wheel, and this is part of how we become the master creation that he has desired us to be and have. All right, so formational shapes the believer's heart and understanding to reflect the character of Christ. An encounter, that's where we get the corporate worship, right? Where you're jumping around, you're dancing, you're mosh pitting, you're kneeling, whatever that looks like, depending on, I work with next gen guys, so sorry, mosh pitting is a thing. All right, corporate worship provides an opportunity for you to experience the living Christ and the Holy Spirit's presence. Okay, we were called to live life together. That's scriptural. So yes, there is a time and a place for that intimate one-on-one conversation and time with God, but we also sharpen each other by being together. And that's where the encounter comes into play. I'll say it one more time. Corporate worship provides an opportunity for you to experience the living Christ and the Holy Spirit's presence. Anticipatory. I want to be in heaven. Do you want to be in heaven? Mm-hmm. That's what we're anticipating, right? So we mirror heavenly worship described in Revelations as we look forward to the final day we are with him in heaven. That's the anticipation. Again, it's better to be practiced up and ready so that we do know what we're doing when we get there, mm-hmm. right? Because that's what we're going to be doing 24/7. Mm-hmm. All creation was made to worship him. That's found in Luke 19:40. I tell you, he replied, if you keep quiet, the stones will cry out. And I'll be darned if I let something that can't breathe, talk, dance, sing, look as good as we do, cry out over me, right? In Psalms 150:6 says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And then it reiterates that, praise the Lord. Again, encouraging us to do everything that we can from the inside out to honor God with everything that we do. Is this making sense? Mm-hmm. All right, am I talking too fast? Mm-hmm. Too bad, no. All right, so how do we worship? Now this is where it gets into some practical things, right? When you hear the word worship, what do you think about? Singing and playing, right? That's not what worship is. It's a fraction of it. Let's go into more, right? So types of worship, and these are on your notes, so you don't have to write all of them down, but I will go into some biblical context so that you can take it to the bank. Types of worship can be physical. It can be musical and vocal. It can be sacrificial and acts of service. It can be liturgical or corporate worship. It can be prayer and adoration. And basically sums it up in this one or two phrase, two word phrase, a lifestyle of worship. Okay? So biblical worship is defined as a holistic devotion to God in every single area of our life. A holistic devotion. So again, mind, body, soul, strength, right? That's all of us. So physical, we even saw it this morning as we were worshiping corporately. Kneeling, that can be found in Psalms 95, verse 6. Bowing and lifting our hands can be found in Psalm 63, 4. Clapping, how dare you? Psalms 47, 1. Dancing before the Lord. Psalms 149, 3. And even shouting. Psalms 98, 4. Now, there's a lot of other references, but those are some of my favorites that hit the nail on the head. All right? So take those scriptures back with you and look them up and start to apply them because they are of Jesus. All right? Yeah. Musical and vocal. In James 5:13, it says, sing hymns, sing psalms, and spiritual songs. Sacrificial and service. Offering and sacrifices. Tithing. Serving others. Like the mission team is doing today. They are here to serve you. That is an act of worship. Mm-hmm. Offerings like your kid. I don't know if I could do what Moses did. Especially with my brand new grandbaby. She's 8 days old.
Congratulations.
You want to see her? Come see me at lunch. She's beautiful. Okay. All right, so I just had to say that because now I'm old. That's all this right here. Yeah, great. All right. Liturgical or corporate worship. Structured worship. And it's okay to have structured worship, but it's not okay to have controlled worship. There is a major difference in the church between those two. Okay? You can have your set list, you can have it, everything flows together, you're good, all the keys match, and there's great transitions. But what is the Holy Spirit doing in the midst of it?
Yeah.
Are you ready to pivot and change?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he does that. Because guess what? He's a God that's not going to be mocked.
Amen.
Right? And if we think we've got it all together, we're mocking him. Because it's his show, and we're just along for the ride. All right? So structured worship. Reading of scripture. Just literally reading, like calling out a verse. Sermons. Yeah, we got to have them, I guess. We can't do worship for 2 hours. All right. And then communion. Because, again, it brings us right back to the beginning of why we have the ability to have access to the King. He died on the cross to pave that way. Okay? Prayer and adoration can be spontaneous and formal. But it is talking with God. It's praising and giving thanksgiving. Now, one of the things that I love to tell the teenagers is they and kids, but teenagers are weird, they're quirky. So they're like, no, I don't pray in public. And it's like, well, do you talk to your friends in public? Sometimes I even say, do you yell at your parents in public? That gets them.
No.
Then why can't you talk to God? Because it's literally having a conversation with him. And that's what prayer and adoration is. It's talking to your friend. It's being kind to Jesus, sometimes yelling because you're frustrated and you need answers. And he's all about that too, okay? So those moments all create a lifestyle of worship. It's good stuff, right?
Yes.
Now, Romans 12:1 says, offer your daily life as a living sacrifice to God, okay? It is making a conscious choice to die to yourself, to follow him in every area. A conscious choice. Something that's intentional.
Yes.
You can't just think about it. You got to do it too, right? God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. That's found in John 4:24. Now, there's a song that says, faith, let faith rise up. Oh, heart, believe. Let faith rise up in me. And that should be our heart's prayer every single morning. Let it rise up in me, God. Let me trust you. Let me hear your voice. let everything that I do bring honor and glory to you so that somebody else's life can be encouraged, right? It's not a formality. It's not a box that you have to check. Woohoo! I prayed. Woohoo! I gave my tithe today. Woohoo! I served my neighbor. I plowed their driveway. What, you guys don't get snow down here, but we do upstate, so sorry. It's not about that. It's about focusing on his character and not ours so that we can be more like him. I get it, girlfriend. I do. It's wrong. All right. She was like, don't talk about snow. It's like that song, Don't Talk About Bruno. Don't talk about snow. I said that to a kid last week.
Agreed.
All right. Right? Let's take a moment. Thank God for snow. All right. So let's talk about some key principles that we've talked about, but we're going to hone in on. God is the audience, and he is the goal. And what I mean about the goal is being like him, being with him, wanting more of him. That is the goal. Worship is primarily for God. We forget about that. Can it be for us too? Can it encourage us? Can it lift us up? Can it be a way of prayer and lamenting before him? Absolutely. David did that, right? Mm-hmm. But it's mainly for God and his enjoyment, functioning as a sweet foretaste of what we'll get to do in eternity. Christ-centered mediator. We need a Christ-centered mediator to actually have worship happen. That's why he died. That's why he paved that way. Worship is only possible through Jesus Christ. It's nothing that I can do. It's nothing that I can say. It's nothing that I can sing. It's no perfect list. He acts as the mediator between God and humanity. Having that comprehensive lifestyle, true worship is not limited to the Sunday service. It involves all of your life, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Romans 12:1 also includes serving others. So again, it's not just about us, it's about others. 12:1 says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing. Whoa, that is not what we wanted to do. Holy and pleasing. No. There we go. Holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So I'm going to read that again since it was a hot mess with my computer. Romans 12:1 says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, and this is your true and proper worship. Dialogic and conventional worship is a conversation. Again, it's a dialogue between you and the Father, you and the Son, you and the Holy Spirit. A dialogue between God who calls, I like that, you know, calls, and reveals, right? He is the one who will show you. He is the one who will lead you. He is the one who will call you. He is the one who will shift you. So a dialogue between God who calls and reveals and his people who then get to respond to it. It renews the covenantal relationship between God and his people. Scripture-driven worship should be a key principle. Worship must be rooted in the Bible, including the reading and preaching and singing of Scripture. I love that a lot of our songs actually come directly from Scripture. Mm-hmm. As the deer pants forth the water, so my soul longs for you. What other songs come out of Scripture?
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Mm-hmm. Yep, what's another one?
Lamb of God.
Yeah. Lamb of God, worthy is your... Yep. What's another one?
Have your way.
Yes. What other ones?
The blessing.
That's a good one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yep. May his favor be upon you. That actually comes out of scripture too. You don't think it until you actually look it up, right?
And I am.
Oh, the great I am. Yeah.
Psalm 23.
Yeah.
That one's really, that's like a tearjerker.
Sing it. She's like, I like to worship, but not in public.
I'm going to cry.
No, and you know what? I cry all the time. Luke, yes?
Yes.
All the time. Yeah. Like, people think that I'm mean and bad and like, but dude, when I am in the presence of the King of Kings, literally the scripture says I'm undone.
She's like,
I'm undone.
Yeah.
Because I'm so not worthy.
Yeah.
But he calls us worthy.
Yeah.
And when we come to that revelation, it's like, okay, God, yep, I'm putting you back in that seat where you deserve to be. And I deserve to be at your feet, right? Sorry, bunny trail. All right. So worship must be rooted in the Bible, including reading, preaching, and singing of scripture. We also need to have the key principle of having reverence and adoration. Worship implies submission to the divine sovereign. It acknowledges his worthiness and our need for him. Those are pretty big things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, process that for a moment. Worship implies full submission to the divine sovereign. That truly, we're here to say yes. And what does that look like? Sometimes it's in the waiting. Sometimes it's in the going. Sometimes it's in the shifting. I love how Pastor David shared. Like, he had his thing. His gifting was numbers and crunching and all of that. But he knew that God wanted to use that for his glory and how to combine that. That is a lifestyle of worship. That is a heart who is surrendered to the will of God. And what it would look like, he kept searching. He kept going deeper, right? Good stuff. So a life lived in obedience, sacrifice, surrender, and humility that's focused on the who, the why, and the how develops a lifestyle of worship. And that lifestyle of worship will encourage others to want a lifestyle of worship too. You know, when you walk into a crowd of people and there's all different mixed faiths, demographics, social standings, can you sense a difference in a person who is a believer versus somebody who is not? They just light up the room, light up this way, and they light it up. There's not a heaviness in that space. That's our mandate, is to bring that to the world. And when we do live a lifestyle of worship, that's just innate. It just happens. Now, what does it mean for your daily life? Does it mean you have to spend hours doing nothing but laying at his feet? No, because we have practical lives too. Some of you do work vocational jobs. Some of you work solely in the church. Some of you work both. What does it look like? Take up your cross daily and follow me, is what he says. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will direct your path. I just got the 5 minute. Listen, they're no joke. Last year I saw him cut off 4 people. Not me, I was a good girl. I was very nervous. So I was like, okay, right? But that's what it looks like. And when we surrender ourselves to him to be used in whatever capacity that looks like, great things are ahead. All right? So I'm going to show you a few resources that I have gleaned from over the years. The main one being the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. Right? That should be your go-to above and beyond anything else. The Bible is the Word of God.
Amen.
Okay? It's authentic from Him. So why wouldn't we want that love note being poured into our lives every single day? There is a Facebook book called Worship Leader Collective. Guys, daily like posts on just things that smack you with a 2x4 upside your head, but also encouragement for how to work with your teams, how to just go deeper in what you do on a Sunday. Like, it's not just do the keys all flow together, right?
Yeah.
I'm totally a girl that likes everything in the same key so that I can flow in and out. Luke's like, can we change the key this week for your second song? And I'm like, yeah, I guess so. I love being able to float, because then there's no like second guessing and I don't have to get in my head. I can get into God's, right? I don't have this like yin and yang going on inside me. The Heart of the Artist, that is character building for team ministry. Love it. Exploring Worship by Bob Sorge. His dad was my senior pastor. And just like this man went through a season where he was a phenomenal worship leader and God took his voice.
Wow.
And what does it look like when your identity has been, I am a worship leader. That's what I do.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, you get into the lifestyle of worship, and what does that look like, right? So that's a really great one. The Unquenchable Worshipper, literally it's like that thick, and it's like this big, right? Just great, and it's testimonies from Matt Redman and stories from him and what it looked like as he went searching for more of God. So those are just a few. There's hundreds, but those are some of my favorites. All right, do you guys have any questions? Because we got like 3 minutes.
46.
Ooh, yeah.
2 minutes and 46.
Any questions?
I missed it. What is the Worship Leader Collective?
Oh, it's a website on Facebook.
And it does offer resources?
Yep. Yeah, it has like, they post daily, like multiple times, just encouragement. And again, that like smack you upside the head and make you reposition yourself and your thinking. They give some resources for teams, worship, list building, all of that. So it's a really good website. Luke, are you on that one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, guys, thank you for letting me share with you. I hope this helps. I hope it encourages you. You are not alone. You are not alone. Right? But you are loved, and feel free to go on to your next session. And if you have questions, you can ask me.
I was going
to
say, it's here at Olson, right?
Thank you very much,
Luna.